So have you ever had one of those days? I wonder why that day always falls on Sunday for me. Boy, it seems like every Sunday there's always something. And I come in, from my perspective, unprepared or whatever. And I guess, you know, if Satan can keep me off balance, then he's doing a good job. So I'm excited to see what God is going to do this morning, because as last Sunday and the Sunday before that, for me, it's been an uphill battle to get to this point. So if we could pause for a moment and just pray. Pray for me as I pray for us. Father, again, I thank you for this day that we set apart to worship you. And there is no doubt in my mind, through the prayers we've heard and just your revelation to me through the things I've experienced to this point, you are going to do a great thing. And I pray that what is done in this time we spend in your word is to have a part in enlarging your kingdom and making an effective difference in the world we live. I give you the praise in advance for what you're going to do in each one of us that is not here by accident this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those of you that haven't been attending, or if you're visiting, we are going through the Sermon on the Mount, which is a three-chapter sermon Jesus delivered to his disciples. Not just the 12, but those who chose to follow him. Did you know that you are a disciple if you are following Christ? Matthew chapter 5, we're at verses 13 through 16, and then we're going to be in a myriad of passages throughout this sermon. I just want to read what Jesus was saying on this day. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Verse 14. You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As I prepared this message, I took a trip down memory lane, because for 20 years I've been proclaiming this message. Philip Paul Bliss, in 1871, penned these words. It's a hymn. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin has settled. Loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed or storm-tossed, is trying now to make the harbor. In the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. Phenomenal words. Are your lights burning brightly, or are you just making your way through this life? I think Jesus was trying to set a stage here. Jesus is saying that those who know Christ are salty people. Remember, he said, you're the salt of the earth. But if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? He goes on to say, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're salty, and we're supposed to shine as lights in the world. In today's understanding of salt, there's no real meaning or value. How many of you think about salt outside of, okay, I want my meat to taste better? But for the most part, if you're thinking about it, it's like, no, salt's bad. So it's just a bad influence. It's negatively seen. But you have to understand that we have so much salt in mines we have access to every day. I mean, to melt snow or ice, we go out, we purchase it, and then we throw it out to be trampled underfoot. Isn't that exactly what Jesus was saying? Thousands of years ago, that wasn't the case. Salt had value. A man's wage was actually paid in salt. What? Yeah. That's where that saying, that man's not worth his weight in salt. There was a value. In Jesus' day, salt had other minerals mixed within it. So the possibility of the properties becoming less salty was just common. Pure salt is effectuous. It's a preservative. You spread it on meat and it'll last a long, long time. It's a seasoning to add flavor right past the salt. It's also an antiseptic to kill germs. How many here have gargled with salt when you had a sore throat, right? Everybody. Yeah. Salt, if it loses its saltiness, is good for nothing, according to Jesus. Remember where we're at in his sermon. He's just described certain behaviors for his followers to put into practice with the Beatitudes. There's eight of them. You remember them full well, yes? Of course. To be useful to the world, we should have a positive influence or a positive effect. However, if we don't act away in these ways that are not suggested but prescribed by Jesus, we're useless in the world. I mean, if we live like the world instead of the way Jesus prescribes for us to live, we will have a useless effect. The takeaway in short is, be a salty Christian. Don't let the impurities of the world affect your purity. This morning we're going to devote our time to focusing on the light of the world and what God's Word has to say with regard to it. So if we're going to have a Bible drill, if you want to follow along, Philippians 2, 5 through 16, it gives good instruction. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 16. And I'm going to share lots of scripture, not necessarily lots of references, but thoughts from God given to man to give to us. Philippians 2, 5 through 16 says, your attitude should be the kind that was shown by Jesus Christ, who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbled himself even further, going so far as to actually die a criminal's death on a cross. Yet it was because of this that God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Dearest friends, when I was there with you, you were always so careful to follow my instructions. And now that I'm away from you, you must be even more careful to do the good things that result from being saved, obeying God with deep reverence, shrinking back from all that might displease him. For God is at work within you, helping you want to obey him, and then helping you to do what he wants. In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of people who are crooked and stubborn. shine out among them like beacon lights, holding out to them the word of life. When I read God's word, I want to put it into practice. When we read God's word, do you take what you hear and put it into practice? Ephesians 5, 8 through 11 adds this. You can be sure of this. The kingdom of Christ and of God will never belong to anyone who is impure or greedy. For a greedy person is really an idol worshiper. He loves and worships the good things of this life more than God. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the terrible wrath of God is upon all those who do them. Don't associate with such people. That's the thing we need to put into practice. Underline that. Ephesians 5, 8 through 11, if you get there. From now on, I'm going to be putting the verses in my notes so I can tell you where we are. Don't associate with such people. For though once your heart was full of darkness, now it is full of light from God, from the Lord. And your behavior should show it. Because of the light within you, you should do only what is good and right and true. Here's the action. Learn as you go along what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless pleasures of evil and darkness, but instead rebuke and expose them. That's the action. I know I'm doing something wrong. Get behind me. I'm not going there again. These are the actions we must take to reflect Christ well. As children of the light, we must understand only Christ is the true light. He's the lighthouse. We're to be reflections of Him. He is the source of light. We only shine as we reflect His image. Do I look like Christ? Less of me, more of Him. As people see Christ reflected in us, we can point them to Him. Jesus says in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you have Jesus living in you? Yes, I know the man in the back says Jesus loves you. And then he says, His blood is flowing through my veins. Amen, brother. Preach it. To be a light or even associate with a light, we first need to understand what it means to follow Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, we become fully committed to Him. Totally surrendered to Him. We take on an at all cost, Lord, I will follow You. Now, I understand we're all at different levels of faith, but I am all in. Are we reflecting Him well? If I stand back and look, I say, yes, church, we're doing a good job. But can we burn brighter? Jesus, show me how. Jesus took time and clearly explained to His disciples what it takes to become one of His followers. To be a disciple of Christ demands that Jesus become the most important thing in our lives. I will have no other God before You. I will turn off the TV. I will not go to. I will not engage with. I will love and serve God. The true follower of Christ must be a new spiritual creature. It's not my idea. We need to be part of God's kingdom. Jesus just spent 8 verses saying that. You will inherit the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. When we, but are we, am I? The first condition of a follower of Christ is that we have become the recipient of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Through faith in the Son of God. Without salvation, there will be no desire to follow Christ. I won't want to read my Bible. I won't want to go to church. The park 2 hours from here is so much more fun than going to church. Choose you this day in whom you will serve. If we want to follow Christ, we have to recognize who He really is. He's Lord of Lords. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. And by declaring Jesus Lord and being baptized in His name, we make the first steps to obedience to following Christ. The decision has been made. I get baptized. This is my outward declaration of what I believe on the inside. Baptism doesn't save my life. It's just telling you, I'm a child of God, and He's doing a work in my life, and I want to live from this dunk until He comes again for Him. That's my declaration. It is the Holy Spirit who then empowers us to understand and live out Jesus' teachings and reflect Him well. He does the work. We get the benefit. Listen to the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 to 16. No one can really know what anyone is thinking or what he's really like except that person himself. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us His Spirit, not the world's Spirit, to tell us about the wonderful free gifts of grace and blessings that God has given us. Have you received them? Are you receiving them? In telling you about these gifts, we have even used the very words given to us by the Holy Spirit. Not words that we as men might choose. So we use the Holy Spirit words to explain the Holy Spirit facts. God's word isn't made up stories. It's what God told these men to put pen to paper. They are true, living, and active, guided by the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on to say, but the man who isn't Christian can't understand, can't accept these thoughts from God, which the Holy Spirit teaches us. They sound foolish to him because only those who have the Holy Spirit within them can understand what the Holy Spirit means. Others just can't take it. I don't get it. But the spiritual man, but us church, spiritual people, has insight into everything. And that bothers and baffles the man of the world who can't understand him at all. How could he? For certainly he has never been one to know the Lord's thoughts or discuss with him or to move the hands of God by prayer. This is the most key verse. Right here, listen to this. There's a giant capital but. But strange as it seems, we Christians, we followers of Christ, according to God's word, actually do have within us a portion of the very thoughts and mind of Christ. That blows up my brain. We can know. We can operate in His strength. While today we can't physically follow Jesus like His disciples did, the New Testament makes it clear that following Him includes applying His teachings. Jesus said it this way in John 8:31 and 32. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Let me say verse 32 a little differently. Then you will know Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. Jesus is what? The way, truth, life, and light. He is. Paul's letters to the early church made it clear of the thought of Christians. We need to follow Jesus' teachings and then need to apply them to their lives. That's then. But the Holy Spirit is still equipping the church to follow Jesus' teachings today. Do you believe that, church? 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7 tells us, I want to write about these special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of you, for I don't want any misunderstanding about them. You will remember that before you became Christians, you went around from one idol to another, not one of which could speak a single word. But now you are meeting people who claim to speak messages from the Spirit of God. How can you know whether they're really inspired by God or whether they're fakes? Thank goodness we have God's Word. Because Paul goes on to say, here's the test. The litmus test. No one speaking by the power of the Spirit of God can curse Jesus. No one can say Jesus is Lord and really mean it unless the Holy Spirit is helping him. Now, God gives us many kinds of special abilities, but it's the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service to God, but the same Lord we're serving. There are many ways in which God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work in and through all of us who are His. There's protocol. Not just anybody. You have to be His. If you want the workings of the Holy Spirit, you need to know Jesus. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the whole church. When I hurt, this church carries me. When you hurt, I do my best to be part of what you're going through. But you need to contact me, because I'm not supernaturally a know-it-all. But I will walk with you. Maybe you're wondering, how do I actually follow Jesus and begin to walk in the light? Can I suggest being in God's Word regularly? And before you go there, make sure you pray to God that He would speak to you and give you a mind to understand so that you can put into practice and bring about change in your life and in your situations. I don't know why my situation is this way. Do you believe? Did you pray? My prayers are great, but God wants to hear from you. And when you ask, you must believe. There are two actions God's Word suggests. Commands. What I'm about to offer is even more difficult. I say this in love. Choose to actually do what His Word says. Don't have anything to do with them. Don't have anything to do with them. Pray. How? Without ceasing. It's really simple, but you can't just say God do and then expect. There's God's part and our part. The most difficult thing to do in this life is to live the way Jesus lived His life. How did He do it? As was His custom, He got up early in the morning and He prayed to His Father. And then He waited for His goal to be revealed for the day. And Jesus wanted to be faithful to Him and fulfill what God wanted to accomplish. That is Jesus' life. And it should be ours as well. What does it take to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? A follower of Christ is someone who has been called to intimately know Him and His salvation, and how it works in our life. And then daily take up our cross. It's difficult. I'm not beaten and broken. And actually, somebody had to carry Jesus' cross for a time. And we're instructed to do the same. We live our lives wholly devoted to God, above any other human, above any material possession, any other way of thinking, Jesus first. When we begin diligently following Jesus' teaching, the natural outcome is we become like and reflect Christ. It just happens. I don't have to work hard. I just have to be blessed. It's a blessing to serve. We start our day in prayer. We wait for God's instruction for the day, and then we do our best to communicate the gospel as opportunity arises. Rarely do I go out and say, this is my mission today. What comes, I'm ready, in season and out, right? True followers of Christ embrace the goal of Christ, to make disciples of every nation, understanding that the Great Commission is God's command, not suggestion. It's not that difficult to have a conversation about God. I find it much easier when somebody comes to me with a comment or a question, and then I get to do what I love to do. Talk about Jesus. What's difficult is finding yourself in a conversation about God or Jesus without the Holy Spirit prompting you. Listen, you don't have access to the Holy Spirit without acknowledging Jesus as your Savior and allowing Him to lord over your life. What would Jesus do? What would you have me do, Jesus? Because in and of my own strength, I will fail every time. But when we're following the Spirit of God, our world gets set on fire. We get to experience fresh wind. God, blow through this house. Blow out the chaff. Blow in new life. This is my plea, Lord. Without Him, you will always hide your light under a bulb. And I believe what keeps us from reflecting His light is that we don't know the light. Sure, we know about God. We know about Jesus. But until we know Him, until we know Jesus, will the world be able to see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven? No. Oh, did I say that too sharply? But that's the truth. We walk in the darkness of a sin-darkened world, and in that light there is no hope. As followers of Christ, we are called to be salt, making a positive difference in the world we live, reflecting well the light of the world. Jesus! Do people see Jesus in you? 2 or 3 years ago, I preached a series. If somebody said you're a Christian, would there be enough proof to make that statement true? If you look like the world, you don't look like Jesus. And I will tell you, people want to hear the truth. I marvel you come every week after week, and I say the same thing. We need Jesus. Read your Bible, pray, go tell people about Jesus. That's my message. And you keep coming and coming. I told my wife, I think it was this week, and I have in the past, I really want to preach the same sermon 2 weeks in a row. And just see if anybody notices. God's Word, we may not remember, but it gets us through the stuff. And if we don't have it in us, there is no hope. And if we're not willing to tell somebody about the good news found in God's Word, so let me lead you to the last passage of Scripture, 1 Peter 2, 8 through 11. I love this. Peter says, Scriptures also say, He's the stone that some will stumble over, and the rock that will make them fall. They'll stumble because they will not listen to God's Word, nor obey it. I didn't say it. I would never say something like that. And so this punishment must follow, that they will fall. But you're not like that. For you've been chosen by God Himself. You're priests and kings. You're holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this is so that you may show to others how God called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were less than nothing, now you are God's own. Once you knew very little of God's kindness, now your very lives have been changed by it. Dear brothers, you're only visitors here. Since your real home is in heaven, I beg you to keep away from the evil pleasures of this world, for they are not for you, for they fight against your spirit. That's the truth of God's word. There are infinite ways to shine the light in this dark world. And God will use you as a bright beacon if you're willing. What gift has God gifted you with? In other words, what do you love to do? What are you passionate about? And in what way can you put it into practice to glorify your Father in heaven? Four random people on the internet love to sing. They've been gifted with a voice and melodious tones. And this is the message they proclaim. Kindly sees our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore. To us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Facing struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night, our sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some were fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. Your feeble, my brother, some poor sailor tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save.
That's the truth. 1871, pen was put to paper. I don't know how many years that is, but the message remains the same. As I close, would you just bow your heads, close your eyes? Will you take a good, strong look at your relationship with God? Have you put your trust fully in Jesus? Or are you just sitting on the fence, waiting for another day? I want to tell you, today is the day that God wants to use you mightily and powerfully to make a marked difference in His kingdom. If you have questions about a relationship with Jesus, come after the service to me, and I will do my best to answer any question you may have. And if you made that decision, is your light burning brightly? And I would say yes. But are there places it can burn brighter? Are you shining your light as brightly as you can? Father, I thank you for your word that has value and meaning. But sometimes it's difficult. And you ask us to do hard things, but you have empowered and equipped us with the Spirit of God that we have the mind of Him in us. God, I pray that we would tap into that strength, that we would fearlessly and boldly make known the gospel. Jesus saves. And that you would open the opportunities for us to share Him and reflect Him well. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.